Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. This episode, we talk about the games that you really needed to play in 2021, some new and some timeless classics. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain. Well, by now, I would hope everyone has realized that we are in a brand new year, 2022. You know, I don't like to put dates and stuff in the podcast just to try to make them a little more timeless, but, you know, this is an extra, so why not?
Hey, so happy new year if you're just getting to this.
Yeah. Well, and since we are in a brand new year and things have hopefully gotten better, we're recording this in 2021, so future me talking about past me.
So let's just assume everything has gotten better, right?
Yes.
Because why not?
But we want to look at what was great in 2021, despite what wasn't.
I like this. So this is a bit of a departure from some of the normal stuff. We like to sometimes bring up people's top 10 lists and kind of have a good time with those because we don't always agree with them. But I like this article. Now, this is Tech Radar, and they have gone a different direction. Best PC games of 2021, must play titles that you don't want to miss. And what I like about this article is that this isn't just, hey, the best games that came out in 2021, although that's most of the flavor. These are the games that you should not have missed last year. And if you did, now's your chance to catch up.
Even in 2022.
Even in 2022. And there's more.
Because these games are such that you don't need to have the latest CPU, the latest GPU that you can't buy. You can play this on aging hardware.
And some of these games are not expensive, so if you're still saving up for that 3080, you can still scratch that new game itch.
Yeah. Now, of course, the first one breaks everything that we just talked about.
Kinda, yeah.
Because it's the best new PC game, which is Psychonauts 2. And truth be told, I did not play Psychonauts, but I did hear really, really good things.
So I like Psychonauts. This is one of the early platformers that really took a chance to do something different. And for me, this is what put now famous publisher Double Fine on my map. So Psychonauts is a kind of a weird story. It's a platformer, does some interesting stuff with real charm and style. And you can play Psychonauts, the first one, on I think everything. You might even be able to play this on your smartwatch because it's been out for 16 years, Dennis. But the new one.
You're talking about the original.
The original. So yeah. It's a must play.
I was like, pause there for a moment.
And it might be free even on some of these old systems. So Psychonauts 2, of course, the sequel. It is an almost direct continuation. I haven't played much of this, but I can tell you it looks and feels exactly like the original.
The graphics remind me of a Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare
kind of
game, which was that third person where you were a zombie or a plant or somebody going through and killing stuff.
Doesn't it also kind of bring back like a Lucasfilms point and click era sort of feel too?
Yes, just a little bit.
We're getting old. Okay, let's see what's next.
Next on the list is, actually, is this is the first on the list, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Now, this is not a surprise given all the popularity of The Witcher right now because of the second season
On Netflix.
Netflix. So if you're not watching that, I would certainly recommend it. And it's very true, I'm told, to the books and to the games. So Witcher 3, Wild Hunt is the latest edition. And I agree with these guys in a sense. They say it's not just the best PC game of 2021, but among the best open world games on PC, period. Maybe one of the best video games of all time.
Better than Skyrim? Probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So I have to admit, I've been working my way through the Witcher games, but I haven't gotten to Wild Hunt yet. I can tell you they're deep, large. They do kind of have the same feel of playing Skyrim.
Yeah, I kind of like this quote here. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is aging like a fine wine. Even several years after it hit the streets, it's still one of the most impressive open world games that has ever existed, mixing Skyrim unapologetic scale with Grand Theft Auto V's incredible depth.
That's a heck of a recommend right there.
Yeah.
So I would hunt this down. I would definitely tell you to pick the PC version over a console one unless you've got a latest generation console.
Ah, okay. The next one, Halo Infinite. This is a game we talked about in our couple of podcast episodes ago.
Yeah, we did because
It hadn't been released
yet. It hasn't been released, and it's finally out on PC. And I tell you, it is a gorgeous faithful. I've only seen the multiplayer played, but the appeal of playing Capture the Flag again after so many years of Battlefields and CODs, it's almost like going back to the playground. I just get just a huge smile thinking about it.
Number three is Ghost Runner. So looking at the graphics, this reminds me a bit of Cyberpunk? Or you were thinking Blade Runner, right?
Yeah, to me, it brings back Blade Runner, the game, which wasn't great, but a lot of the Blade Runner city scenes, which maybe is why they call it Ghost Runner. I don't know.
Yeah.
It says equal parts Doom Eternal and Mirror's Edge. Now, this is the first one on the list that I know nothing about.
Oh, Doom Eternal and Mirror's Edge. Okay, so Mirror's Edge was a free-running game.
Yeah, parkour.
And it was pretty awesome. And then Doom Eternal was the one version of Doom that I didn't really like so much because they made it more of a... they made it more like Borderlands 2 instead of a raw shooter game.
So the description is platforming katana-induced carnage to take revenge on a ruthless ruler. Slicing abilities, dodging bullets, unique abilities... So to me, this is sort of a modern take on a platformer, it sounds like. I'm a little intrigued, although I'm not really a platformer player.
Nah. The next one, speaking of platformer, kinda, is Hades, or Hades. Hades?
I think it is Hades. Now, this is a dungeon crawler that I've heard a lot about. Oh. It's a third-person omnipotent, so kind of like a Diablo-esque sort of thing. I looked into this and kind of walked away because it was not multiplayer side-by-side on the console, which is where I tend to play these third-person dungeon crawlers. Ah. But it looks pretty and kind of interesting. If that's your thing, I would check this out. This is from the folks that made Bastion, which was a really highly reviewed and played game back in the day.
And then we got Control. It's not hard to see why Control has taken the gaming world by storm. According to the picture, I don't see much going on.
Now, Control is I think it's another third-person shooter. I'm relatively certain this was given away for free over the Christmas season on at least one of the consoles. So I have yet to check it out. It says, deeply cinematic, inspired environment, brilliant performances, satisfying combat experience. Not a lot there to go for. Control to me was one of those that had a lot of press and then it kind of came out with a whimper.
Ah.
So that can that can mean a lot of things. It could be a timing issue. Could be it just didn't find its audience. But I would look into that with a little bit of hesitation.
Oh, well, maybe you can find somebody playing it on Twitch or something like that.
There you go. Okay, Dennis, now the next one is one that I'm really kind of excited about. It is chucking in at number six. Now, I didn't realize this is from Bethesda, but I'm just going to read you their caption because I think it's good. If you ever wondered what Groundhog Day would look like in game form, wonder no more. Deathloop is from the makers of Dishonored. It's a first-person shooter with a fun little twist and some strategy. Essentially, what you're doing here is it's like Hitman.
Oh, okay.
You have to complete a series of assassinations, and every time you fail, the day resets and you start over.
Ooh.
So as the day progresses, you learn how to carry out these murders, and you also learn some backstory, and I can't really talk much more about that without spoilers.
Huh.
But to me, this is a cool, revolutionary way to do a shooter. It's not unique. I mean, it's a cool concept that anybody could come up with, but the way that it tells the story and the way that you do it over and over again is kind of leads you to that, all right, one more try sensation that I think makes a game very appealing.
Oh, yeah. Instead of having to play it and then fail and then reload a save, it's like, oh, you didn't complete the mission the way we wanted you to, so let's do it again.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend this one. I'm starting to see it go on sale. I think this has real potential to be, for me, the game of the year, and it's sad to say that over, you know, a new Battlefield, which we've talked about, and the new Call of Duty. And the only game that even comes close to me is the new Halo.
Good recommend on a game on the list that we have yet to play. Next one, though, is one that was really, really super popular.
Right.
We have number seven, Microsoft Flight Simulator. Now, this doesn't have a number after it because we have Even the very first flight simulators were Flight Simulator 2 because it was the second one. And then they had a year and stuff like that. Well, this one is amazing because it has unlockable planes.
Cool.
And you can get like a Cessna all the way up to a 747. And you fly them just like you would fly a regular jet. And the best part is it uses Google Maps to map out where you are.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to fly over Chicago, you put your plane there, you take off from Midway, and you will see the Chicago skyline as you're flying along.
Now, I mean, that has pretty good appeal, and I'm not a fan usually of simulator games. It is fun to watch the YouTube videos of Flight Simulator fails, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, and that's the, when I was playing, okay, a little, I'm going to step back in time here. On the old Tandy, which was my first computer, one of the games we bought was the MicroProse, I think it was MicroProse, Flight Simulator. It was the very first flight simulator. It ran on the 8088 back in the day.
Woohoo!
Really crappy graphics. You were flying a Cessna, but it was accurate in that you would fly between six different cities. And if you took off from Chicago Midway and had your directions set right, you could fly all the way to, I think it was SFO. And it would take, in real time, that long to get there.
Oh, my.
So you could fire up the game and then fly and basically go on autopilot, go have dinner, watch a movie, come back, and then all of a sudden, hey, here's San Francisco.
Oh,
and that
wow.
was it. And it was pretty cool. But the problem was, is that that's all you did. So it got really boring really fast. So you could take off and you could flip around and then you could practice landing. You could land not on the runway and crash and stuff like that. But that was about it. There wasn't a lot to do. And with Microsoft Flight Simulator, it's really cool that it's very immersive, but I see it as being the same. There isn't a lot of challenges to playing the game aside from just making it from one place to another and flying crazy weird jets in different ways.
Sure, and I agree. I feel like this is the kind of game where you either know you're a fan or you should avoid it.
Yeah. And some people go nuts with these. Like, they build huge replica cockpits so that they can fly their flight simulators.
It has been a while since I read an article about someone landing a plane because they learned it in Flight Sim, but it happens.
And we'll not talk about the artist.
Don't try this at home. Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of Hitman, the latest Hitman. Dun, dun, dun,
Hitman 3.
Number 8 on the list.
Hitman 3 closes out the rebooted trilogy in another gorgeous entry. I have yet to play through a lot of the original Hitman, and I didn't do Hitman 2, but I have played some of the older Hitmans.
Yeah, Hitman for me was one that it was kind of a love it or hate it. I found that it got a little boring. It was kind of in that Ninja Gaiden thing for me, too. It was too dependent on doing it correctly to get through some of the challenges,
yeah.
And it frustrated me.
And I didn't like that it was a third-person game, but I've famously talked about how I want to be in that person's skull.
But then you don't get to see the bald head.
And the, what was it, the barcode tattoo.
There you go. Very famous. Timothy Oliphant, right? Played him the last time they tried to do a Hitman. Oh, yeah.
And I think that that was actually a pretty successful series. I'll have to look it up, really.
Yeah, true. Okay. Next.
Number 9, we have Death Stranding, which is a very talked about franchise.
Now, I haven't played this one either, but it won a whole bunch of awards. Oh, wow. It's got some big names attached to it there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a an action game, I guess. It looked kind of like Metro to me, but this picture makes me think maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's hard to say, but I have heard lots of good things, and it's made a lot of great awards, so it probably needs to be on somebody's list to buy.
Yeah, I may have to come back to that one. Okay.
Right. So number 10 is Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Now, Mass Effect is a huge game franchise from like the past 15, 20 years.
Well, but this one's kind of cheating because all this really is all of the old games remastered in 4K with revised soundtracks.
Oh, and some DLC.
Oh, and all the DLC. So this is kind of the everything Mass Effect remastered for modern hardware.
So it's the massive Mass Effect for
Mass Effect. So for me, having never gotten into Mass Effect, this is appealing because you can kind of get it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some are better than others.
Yep.
But upgraded graphics, upgraded sound, better gameplay.
That's kind of a common thing these days. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot more games that are being rebooted just to remaster the old ones. Like Crysis, for instance. They brought out Crysis and then remastered it, but then didn't add what made Crysis great, which was it had to be on the latest and greatest stuff. It was like, sure. Well, we're just going to add, spiff up some graphics a bit, make it a little bit more optimized, but it wasn't anything new.
Yeah, that's kind of like the E-Mustang for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to bring back a name you love, and it'll be sort of the same, but not really.
Yeah.
Although, you did bring up a good point, and this next game, I think, is even more reminiscent of the thing that I'm seeing happen. And this is my complaint a lot of ways about movies, too. Have you noticed that there are more and more and more revisits and sequels and instead of original IPs? I mean, what are we at? Fast and Furious 9 now, for example?
Yeah, well, Fast and Furious 9 is the epitome of a franchise to print money.
Yeah.
It's gotten more and more outrageous, but it's a continuation. It's not really a sequel. But we have, for instance, not Running Man, Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, right.
So we have the original Blade Runner, which was a great movie. And then we have Blade Runner 2, which was kind of a reboot, but in flavor of, but we're going to pull in some of the old characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a lot of movies like that where they just kind of, it's like they've run out of ideas, which is really a common problem throughout the years.
Well, and this used to be sports games, right? You got to get a new Madden every year and a new, you know, The Show every year or whatever franchise is your franchise of choice, which is one of the large reasons that I avoided sports games.
Yeah. Well, sports games are easy to do another year for because they change the roster. So you'll have a new set of players for the Raiders, for instance, and stuff like that. So it keeps it fresh. But the gameplay is exactly the same. It's just like COD, where it's the same shooter. You're just in a different location.
Slightly revised graphics and a new way to kill people with a different chopper or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. This one maybe doesn't prove that as much as I think. We should tell them, extending our top 10 a couple here. Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, I played a lot of the first Red Dead Redemption and really liked it, but I felt like it kind of also got old in the open world thing. Got repetitive.
Oh.
Now I hear that Red Dead Redemption 2 fixes that, gives you a lot more to do, but it's also a lot bigger world.
Well, it reminds me a lot of Skyrim.
Yeah.
And the original Red Dead Redemption that came out was based off of the Bethesda engine, the same one that made Fallout and Skyrim. Mm-hmm. So it was the same open world engine. It had the same open world feel.
Basically a reskin, if you think about it that way, mm-hmm. Yep. Of Skyrim or Obsidian or, you know, name your open world. But, you know, this is Rockstar, so it's a little bit rougher around the edges.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this one uses the Rockstar engine, I think.
So let me tell you a fun little story. There's a, this is a fun meme you should look up. True story. There's a gal out there who likes to send pictures from inside of Red Dead Redemption 2 to her local news site for their out and about segment. I think she's on the 10th or 11th time she'd submitted one.
Wow.
It's featured on the news, and they think that it's scenery from their state.
Nice.
Worth a Google.
Nice.
So kudos if you're out there. That's hilarious.
Well, and what was it? North Korea does something similar. They take footage from Call of Duty and use it as like war footage in their news reports. I thought that was good.
I'm not sure if anybody believes that, but that just tells you how beautiful the game really is.
Yeah.
And ironically, it supports 8K, which, you know, maybe this year at CES we'll be talking a little bit more about, but someday 8K will be ours. Maybe.
This will come out after CES and we're not really going.
Oh, never mind.
It's fine.
Peace out.
Maybe we can, I'll figure out. All right. Number 12 is a game that I had high hopes in playing and enjoying and really was kind of a flop for me, which was Doom Eternal.
Now, you were pretty excited about this, and I know you're a Doom fan from way back. Mm-hmm. So, all right, first tell us about the game, and then I'm curious as to why you didn't like it.
All right, so Doom, the original Doom, was basically the epitome of the fast-paced shooter.
All right.
He had different kill moves and whatnot, and if you were down on health, you go and kill the enemy a special way, you get health and bullets, and you can revitalize all your weapons and stuff like that. So you didn't have to necessarily pay attention to what you were doing, you just had to do it in a certain way. And there are certain areas in the map where you can get trapped and die, and then you have to start all over. But it's very, very fast-paced, like the original Quake, and even the new Quake that came out with the same engine before Doom. Now, Doom Eternal takes that same game mechanic, but then adds onto it quests.
Oh, interesting.
So as you probably remember, Doom and Quake, you would get to the end of the level, and then it would tell you what you did and what your achievements were.
Sure, your percentage and how many secrets you found and all that good stuff. Yeah.
And then after that, it would give you the next mission, and then you needed to, it was basically an introduction to the next map. Doom, the new Doom, was the same way. You would get to the objective, and then a little cinematic would happen, and then you would get introduced to the next level and the next objective that you needed to complete. With Doom Eternal, they have that, but now all of a sudden you're in a ship, and you get transported to the next map to go and do something. And at the very end, you are given like a trinket or a trophy that you can display on your ship.
Oh no, achievements.
Yeah, it was sort of. It wasn't as engaging as the original Doom was, where you would go and actually it would just progress through. At the very end, it would be the end of the map, and then you were done and you went through. Well, with Doom Eternal, you could jump around to different areas and you could revisit other areas. And of course, when you complete an objective, it unlocks an objective. And that overall, that was just, I didn't like that mechanic so much. It seemed very forced. But some people love Doom Eternal because it builds on what made Doom great. And I can't deny that, because that was actually one of the things I did like about the game. It was just how they implemented it that really annoyed me.
Well, it sounds like they're trying to modernize it into more than just the pure shooter that it's been. And I got to give them credit for that, even if it's not everybody's cup of tea, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And see, number 13 is a game that's been out for a while. And this is Half-Life Alyx.
Now, this one really kind of hits for me because this is a VR game. So this is probably the first time I've ever seen a site recommend a VR title. Half-Life 3 sequel, sort of. This is actually a prequel to Half-Life 2, but it is widely regarded as the best VR title in existence. Now, the downside of that is it's not available on all of the different services. So you have to be able to run Steam in VR, which can require a little bit of tweaking if you have a first generation Quest like I do, or or some of the other supported titles. And also, it always seems a little expensive.
Half-Life Alyx is probably one of the first full-length titles for VR.
Right.
Because a lot of the other games, like Superhot, for instance, they're relatively short. You can get to the end objective relatively easy. And then there's some that are just progressive games where you are like in a shop, for instance, and it will never end because it just keeps going on to the next thing and you get to do something slightly different.
Procedurally generated, so there is no end. Mm-hmm. I agree. So to me, I think Half-Life Alyx is one that you need to seek out if you have a VR headset. Is it justification to buy a headset? There, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Number 14, Forza Horizon 4, which is a racing game.
Again, the sequel. Dun, dun, dun. To me, it's amazing that Forza has eclipsed now all other racing games that are out there. And there have been some good ones. And the graphics quality on this latest edition is extraordinary. The level of detail they've put into these car models, insane. Really, the only negative that I have about the Forza series is it seems like they're always trying to nickel and dime you for new car models.
Oh, yeah, because they added that microtransaction bit to it.
Yeah, and if you're like me, then yeah, okay, I want to play that new Lamborghini or whatever fun car.
What happened to being able to play a game and have good skill to unlock the Porsche?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, and that seems to have died off over the years. It's become more open worldy. It does have garage finds, which is kind of fun.
Oh, cool.
But it doesn't take much of a Google to, you know. So don't do that. It's a spoiler, right? But it's so easy to find them. Right. And there, I think there are 10 or 15 of them total, and the rest of them are purchasable, which is
Like,
you find yourself watching for every little news article that hints that there might be a free car if you buy a Kellogg's cereal box or something. You know,
Mom, I need Frosted Flakes. They're giving away a Forza.
So is it gorgeous? Yeah. Is it fun? Yeah. But does it do anything better than the previous generation? It's prettier, but it's the same game like we already talked about.
Oh, I remember there was a racing game that came on the original Xbox. And right now I'm forgetting the title of it, but that game became the basis of every racing game for the Xbox after that. It's like that was the engine they used. And the thing that I hated about it was the fact that they added reflections to the pavement. So it made it difficult to find out if you were in the right lane or if you were even going the right way.
How funny.
It was just so annoying. It was just a very, very minor thing. It's like, had they dialed down the reflections a bit, which, yeah, maybe they're making it realistic or something like that, but just dial down a little bit and maybe I would be good at it.
Yeah, I'm a huge car guy and I still find it difficult to play. I can't make myself buy the wheel. And so it's not arcadey enough for me. It's not sim enough for me, but it is still the best driving game out there. So there that is.
And then we have number 15, Nia 2.
Or maybe it's Neo 2.
I think it's Nia.
This is probably a great place to end our list because this is a difficult game. It's compared to Dark Souls, which I avoided because of the frustration of it. It's a fighting game. I frequently see number one and number two packaged together. So if this is the kind of thing that you like, it's difficult. Yeah.
And then we have number 16, Shrieko Shadows Die Twice. And it's not a James Bond film.
Yeah.
It's another Dark Souls.
Yeah, this is kind of in the Ninja Gaiden mode for me. And like I say, at this point in the list, I'm kind of like, well, they're reaching a little bit.
Well, and speaking of reaching, Minecraft is number 17 on their list. And I would say this was released in 2009. And it is still widely popular. And since Microsoft bought it, they started adding a lot of detail to the worlds. Like you have an entirely new underworld atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And you have new caves now, which have stalactites, stalagmites, and they have different monsters that are underground and whatnot. It's added a lot of immersion to Minecraft without changing what made Minecraft a great game.
Well, I like that this is still pretty popular. I'm a little surprised that it isn't free, honestly, and being supported with DLC. Because it seems like when my kids play it, that every time we turn around, there's some cool world that you hear about, and you have to pay the cost of entry to go explore this world. Like there's a world that, you know, accurately recreates the Lord of the Rings and,
and
that type of thing, which to me is the only appeal of Minecraft. And
well, those are the Minecraft dungeons stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the special worlds. You can still play, if you buy Minecraft, you can play it today and it will just update all the time. You don't ever have to buy it again once you've bought it once. But to get into the special stuff that people are paid to go and build, then that makes a sense to me, but it's not core to the game. It's more or less just something extra you can do.
I should, however, point out to the folks at home that I didn't realize until sometime last year, I think, that you could actually beat Minecraft. To me, I thought it was a sandbox game. So,
you can actually beat Minecraft. I've done it three times now. And it's a lot like trying to beat NetHack, which is a game we talked about in the previous episode, where once you get down to the bottom, you beat the wizard, you take the amulet, and you ascend. Well, to beat Minecraft, you have to beat the dragon at the end.
Is that like a spoiler? It seems like this game is old.
Yeah, it's old. It's not really a spoiler. A lot of people have done it. But it takes a special bit of skill to get to the end and beat the dragon.
I do want to point out that sometime in 2021, they're supposed to release what they're calling the Super Duper Graphics Pack. There's been a lot of people joking about ray tracing and light effects coming to Minecraft. And
it is actually out by the time that we've recorded this. You can get the Super Duper Graphics Pack, but I believe it is not official. It's one of those that you download and apply.
Oh, it probably requires you to be compatible with Windows 11 or something.
No, it's actually not even ray tracing. It's just textures, the way the textures are done.
So I do agree everyone should have played Minecraft. And you should know by now if you love it or hate it.
It's, exactly.
It's not for me.
This next one, I think, has your name all over it.
Oh,
which is
my gosh.
Sid Meier's Civ, and it's number 6.
Civ 6. Now, Civilization is, I think, one of the granddaddies, one of the all-time great, and it's, of course, a strategy game, turn-based, and it does it better than anyone, although lately there's been some better competition out there to go against it. Civ 6 is the latest. Of course, it's supporting itself also with DLC that you can download. Frequently, I see deluxe packs on sales the way you get into this one. And what this is the best way to lose a day in a computer game that I've ever had in my entire life. In fact, I find that I have all of the civilizations. 3 was probably my favorite. 6 is by far the prettiest.
Ah.
And they've released quite a bit of stuff since it's come out. The downside is I find that as civilization gets better and better, it requires a bigger chunk of time for me to actually get into the game.
Time investment.
So I can't play for even an hour and feel like I've even used my time well, because you just start to get into the rhythm of it and you're done. So just be aware of that. It's turn-based strategy. It's incredibly deep. Some entries are better than others, but 6 is on the better side of it. If you like that kind of deep strategy, oh my gosh, so much content.
Yeah. So this next one is, it's Fortnite, so we'll just skip that.
Woo! Should you play Fortnite? Probably. Will you like it?
No.
Yeah.
Not so much. Number 20, Paradise Lost, which the title sounds interesting, but I'm not quite sure if it's a survival game or if it's like a zombie shooter game or if it's like period correct game.
So this might speak to you, Dennis. It says this game may remind you of Firewatch by way of BioShock.
Whoa.
And you're exploring an abandoned Nazi bunker. Let's just throw that in and mix it in the blender.
So Firewatch, I bought that game, and the reports were a lot like Cowboy Bebop. It failed before it succeeded, because the game was so short that people would buy it and then return it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it was amazing because it had this crazy, super in-depth story. It just wasn't very long. And you could complete the game without doing all of the little side bits and then exploring everything. So hopefully this isn't like that. But if you add in BioShock, then yes, that is super, super good.
Yeah, I would say BioShock has a place on this list also, although it's a relatively older game now. BioShock trilogy is definitely something you should dip your finger in.
I played the last BioShock, and then I tried to play the first two, and I couldn't get into it. But the last one was a real mind bender. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, one of the truly great games out there, and it has an atmosphere that is kind of unmatched. So anyway, maybe I would check that out before Paradise Lost. Something about Nazis and Firewatch kind of scares me away from this one. But that's the list, Dennis.
That's the list, and it is good. I would say definitely try out some of the games if you haven't already. And if you have any suggestions, feel free to send them in.
And we definitely want to know if we missed any great games, because can't let that happen. Thanks, Dennis. Happy New Year, everyone.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.